Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together in this place be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One among us. Amen. We human beings sometimes, often, get stuck in ruts and old routines. We do what we do, we think what we think, because it can feel comfortable to stick with the same paths we have been following for a long time. This can even happen with regards to the ways in which we understand and experience God, by whatever name or names we use to refer to sacred presence. That being the case, I offer an antidote to some of those old, sometimes narrow understandings of God in which we sometimes get stuck. Our spiritual senses were made for wider vistas than that. Fortunately, there's all kinds of help for expanding those horizons. This morning, rather than offer a whole lot of my own words, I choose instead to offer you words of some old friends of mine. And when I say old, I'm not referring to how long I've known them, since I only got introduced to many of them not all that long ago. I really mean old. Some of them from as far back as the 8th century old. I want to share with you some spiritual insights from a variety of mystics, folks from various faith traditions who experience God at a very intimate level through the path of the heart. Their poetry inspires me, and I hope will inspire you as well. As you listen to these poems, you will hear a variety of names for God, including things like beloved, friend, and guest. One of the interesting things about these writings is that it is often difficult to tell which particular faith tradition they are a part of in the face of such an intimate encounter with the holy. Doctrines and dogmas just seem to kind of fall away because they're all talking about the same reality in whatever words they have available to them to talk about that. I will warn you, however, that you may need to set aside some of the images and understandings about God that you grew up with. I know it's true for me. And oh, what freedom we discover when we do. So I invite you to sit back and relax, and listen to some sacred love poetry from folks who have learned to dance with the mystery of sacred presence. Hafiz was a man from the 14th century, a Sufi poet from Persia. His poetry, like many of the mystics across the century, often imagines God as lover. Like a pair of mismatched newlyweds, one of whom still feels very insecure, I keep turning to God saying, kiss me. Meister Eckhart, 14th century Catholic monk from Germany, speaks with some humor, another quality shared by many of the mystics, about how unimaginable life would be apart from God's intimate and ongoing presence. If God let go of my hand, I would weep so loudly, I would petition with all my might. I would cause so much trouble that I bet God would come to God's senses and never do that again. Thomas Aquinas, 13th century Catholic theologian from Italy, had these thoughts about the difference between genuine connection with God and the false understanding which so often seems to get in the way of that connection. Sometimes we think what we are saying about God is true when in fact it is not. It would seem of value to differentiate between what is God's nature and what is false about love. I have come to learn that the truth never harms or frightens. I've come to learn that God's compassion and light can never be limited. Thus, any God who could condemn is not a God at all. but some disturbing image in the mind of a child we best ignore until we can cure the dark. St. John of the Cross, a 16th century Catholic friar from Spain, was persecuted by the church for the form his faith took. Sadly, persecution is also a trait shared by many of the mystics when they dare to speak about God in terms other than those officially sanctioned by the powers that be. For St. John of the Cross, he was able to endure the experience because of the connection that he shared with the sacred. "What is grace?" I asked God. And God said, "All that happens." Then God added, when I looked perplexed, "Could not lovers say that every moment in their beloved's arms was grace? Existence is my arms, though I well understand how one could turn away from me until the heart has wisdom." Mira was a 16th century woman from India who had a very earthy, sensual way of describing the experience of being in relationship with the divine, yet another trait which is common among the mystics. "I know a cure for sadness. Let your hands touch something that makes your eyes smile. I bet there are 100 objects close by that can do that. Look at beauty's gift to us. Her power is so great that she enlivens the earth, the sky, our soul." And also, "God left God's fingerprint on a glass the earth drinks from. Every religion has studied it. Churches and temples use the geometry of those lines to establish rites and laws and prayers and our ideas of the universe. I guess there is just no telling how out of hand and wonderfully wild things will get when our lips catch up to God's." Many of the mystics write about the profound joy which comes from the intimate experience of the holy. Meister Eckhart wonders why so many people miss this experience. How long will grown men and women in this world keep drawing in their coloring books an image of God that makes them sad? Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Catholic nun from Spain, speaks about this experience in her own life. "Just these two words God spoke changed my life. Enjoy me. What a burden I thought I was to carry, a crucifix, as did he. Love once said to me, 'I know a song, would you like to hear it?' And laughter came from every brick in the street and from every pore in the sky. After a night of prayer, God changed my life when God sang, 'Enjoy me.'" Also from Teresa of Avila, "How did those priests ever get so serious and preach all that gloom? I don't think God tickled them yet. Beloved, hurry." Another quality common among the mystics is seeing the presence of the sacred in everything that is, and especially in all people. Tukaram, a 17th century man from India and a Hindu mystic, offers this humorous bit of insight. "I could not lie anymore, so I started calling my dog God. First he looked confused. Then he started smiling. Then he even danced. I kept at it. Now he doesn't even bite. I am wondering if this might work with people." Kabir was a 15th century Indian man who understood what it was to be misunderstood by those around him. If I told you the truth about God, you might think I was an idiot. If I lied to you about the beautiful one, you might parade me through the streets shouting, "This guy is a genius." This world has its pants on backwards. Most carry their values and knowledge in a jug that has a big hole in it. Thus, having a clear grasp of the situation, if I am asked anything these days, I just laugh. Catherine of Siena was a 14th century Catholic nun from Italy who fell passionately in love with God from a very early age. She lived the rest of her short life filled with an awareness that God is everywhere. One of my very favorite quotes comes from her. All the way to heaven is heaven. All the way to heaven is heaven. This awareness often put her at odds with the power structure of the church, as it does with many mystics. She writes, "All has been consecrated. The creatures in the forest know this. The earth does. The seas do. The clouds know, as does the heart full of love." Strange that a priest would rob us of this knowledge and then empower himself with the ability to make holy what already was. Rumi, a 13th century man, was a Sufi poet from the region we now know as Afghanistan. With passion, pray. With passion, make love. With passion, eat and drink and dance and play. Why look like a dead fish in this ocean of God? Rabia was an 8th century Sufi mystic from what is now Iraq. She was sold into sexual slavery at an early age. She gives expression to the transcendent quality of being in relationship with God. In my soul there is a temple, a shrine, a mosque, a church where I kneel. Prayer should bring us to an altar where no walls or names exist. Is there not a region of love where the sovereignty is illumined nothing, where ecstasy gets poured into itself and becomes lost, where the wing is fully alive but has not mind or body? In my soul there is a temple, a shrine, a mosque, a church that dissolves in God. Hafiz expressed much the same thing this way. I have learned so much from God that I can no longer call myself a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Jew. The truth has shared so much of itself with me that I can no longer call myself a man, a woman, an angel, or even pure soul. Love has befriended me so completely. It has turned to ash and freed me of every concept and image my mind has ever known. Teresa of Avila put it this way, God dissolved my mind, my separation. I cannot describe now my intimacy with God. How dependent is your body's life on water and food and air? I said to God, I will always be unless you cease to be. And my beloved replied, and I would cease to be if you died. One of the powerful themes which is found in the writings of many of the mystics is the oneness that we share with God and with all things. Hafiz must have laughed out loud when these words flowed from his pen. Resist your temptation to lie by speaking of separation from God. Otherwise, we might have to medicate you. In the ocean, a lot goes on beneath your eyes. Listen, they have clinics there too for the insane who persist in saying things like, I am independent from the sea. God is not always around, gently pressing against my body. There is an immediacy which comes when God is experienced in such profoundly intimate ways. Kabir put it this way: friend, hope for the guest while you are alive. Jump into experience when you are alive. Think and think while you are alive. If you make love with the divine now, in the next life you will have the face of satisfied desire. So plunge into the truth. Find out who the teacher is. Believe in the great sound. Kabir says this: when the guest is being searched for, it is the intensity of the longing for the guest that does all the work. Look at me, and you will see a slave of that intensity. And finally, coming full circle from where we began, these words from Rabia, inviting us into an image of God as divine lover. God is sweet that way, trying to coax the world to dance. Look how the wind holds the trees in its hands, helping them to sway. Look how the sky takes the fields and the oceans and our bodies into its arms and moves all beings toward God's lips. God must get hungry for us. Why is God not also a lover who wants the beloved near? Beauty is my teacher, helping me to know God cares for me. May we open ourselves ever more fully to the intimate experience of God's presence in our lives and in the world, in the ways that we describe God and in the ways that we cannot possibly describe God. May it be so for us. Amen.
As we prepare for meditation, let's sing together, "I Am So Blessed."
I now invite you to take a brief journey with me. I will light the way not with words, but with sound. Consider now a single word or phrase that describes one aspect of God. It might be friend, presence, love, guide, or some other word of your own choosing. I invite you to hold that image in your mind or perhaps in your heart and allow it to grow beyond a mere thought, to transform into an experience and fill you as you follow the sound of my flute over the next few minutes. Find that word or phrase and let it take you where it will.
Gets you down, Mrs. Brown, when things seem hard and tough, and people are stupid and obnoxious and daft, that you've had quite enough. Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour and orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's wrecking around the sun that is the source of all our power. Now the sun and you and me and all the stars that you can see are moving at a million miles a day. In the outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of our galaxy we call the Milky Way. Now the galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars and it's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's only 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point, which we go around every 200 million years. And our galaxy itself is only one of millions and billions of our amazing and expanding universe. Now the universe itself keeps on expanding and expanding in every direction it can whiz. As fast as it can go at the speed of light, you know. 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling kind of small and insecure, how amazing is and likely is your birth.